In 2013, I fulfilled a lifetime ambition. I climbed a mountain. The mountain is in Nepal. It's called Island Peak. I reached 6,000 meters above sea level, and looking across the ice and the snow and across a glacial valley, above the clouds, I was looking straight into Tibet. It was an awesome moment. It was a moment of great fulfillment for me, a moment of contentment, a moment where I sensed that I was where I really wanted to be, perhaps even where I was made to be. I wonder if there's been times where you've had that sense of, I was made for this. There's a group called Carrollton, and they published a music video. The lyrics of the music video go something like this. I was made for this, I was made for this. Born in the wild, formed in the fire, built for the battle. It's a video about sports. And so you've got to imagine that while you're watching this video, there's rock climbing, there's press-ups, there's football. I was made for this, I was made for this. It's the battle of the sports field that they're singing about. I was made for it. Now, maybe sport is not the thing that you were made for. Maybe that's not you. Maybe you were made for something different. Maybe for you it's art or photography or music or drama or perhaps even business. Maybe you're a nerd and you're made to program. That's where you really find your joy. Or maybe it's family and children, and you just find real fulfillment and satisfaction in caring for and loving and bringing up those kids. What's your dream? What gives you real contentment? Well, I want to make a couple of observations about this, this whole idea of fulfillment. And the first observation is this, that in actual fact, fulfillment in this life is a shadow. It's a little bit like a mirage, something you keep chasing, and yet it always just seems to elude you. See, there's something I didn't tell you. I didn't tell you the whole story about Island Peak. What I didn't tell you was that at 6,000 meters, I was suffering from severe altitude sickness. I could hardly breathe. I felt like I was going to die. I could barely stand up. And as I looked out across that valley to Tibet, I was deeply disappointed because there were chasms that had opened up in the ice and the snow, and they prevented us from making that last 500 meters to the top of Island Peak. I never actually stood on the peak, and I was bitterly disappointed, and I doubt I'll ever get back there. But that's the nature of life. That's the way it is. Family, well, the ideal of family is awesome, isn't it? But we all know that sometimes we dread those Christmas dinners where the family gets together, and it can be a stressed reality. The achievements that we make very quickly turn into the memory of achievements. Everything is flawed, all that we do. And if it's difficult to find fulfillment, it's even more difficult and impossible to hold on to it. That's life. Now, I want to make a second observation about this whole idea of fulfillment. And that is that the very idea of fulfillment implies purpose. Fulfillment implies the fulfillment of a predetermined purpose. Otherwise, it's not fulfillment. So if you think of a fish, what's fulfilling for a fish? Well, I imagine if I was a fish, I'd find it very fulfilling to swim in the sea, because fish are made for the sea. They're made to swim. Birds, well, they're made to fly. So the fulfillment is that soaring on the wind. So when you say, I was made for singing, or I was made for soccer, what you're actually saying is, I'm fulfilling the purpose for which I was made. There is this deep desire to find fulfillment. A deep desire to find fulfillment actually implies a deep desire and a deep need to find purpose in life. And you're not going to find fulfillment unless you find purpose first. What is your purpose in life? That's the question that you're really asking. It's a question that teenagers angst over. What is my purpose in life? What will I be? Sounds like a song. Will I be famous? Will I be rich? And here's what my mum said to me. You know the song, don't you? But that's an old version. There's a newer version of the same song. What will I be when I grow up? And here's some lyrics from that song. This is by a rapper called NF. Yeah, when I grow up, you know what I want to be. Take a seat, let me tell you my ridiculous dreams. I want to rap, yeah. I know it's hard to believe. And I can tell you're already thinking I will never succeed. I know this probably isn't realistic, and honestly, I might not ever make a difference. But that don't make a difference. I've been crunching numbers. You ain't got to be a mathematician to see the odds ain't written for me. That desire for fulfillment, a desire for purpose in life, it's so difficult to find. And our teenagers, and by the way, by teenager I mean anyone under the age of 40, our teenagers angst in this matter. Well, at this point, I need to be both brutal and kind. I'm going to be brutal first and then kind in just a moment. Fulfillment in this life, you won't find it. And there's the problem. It's not available in this life. The advertising is a lie. The advertisers take fulfillment. They want to tell you that they can package it and put a price on it. They cannot do it. You cannot find real fulfillment in this age, in this life. 3,000 years ago, there was a teacher of Israel, an ancient teacher of Israel. And I want you to listen to the words of the teacher now for a moment.
This is the evil in everything that happens under the sun. The same destiny overtakes all. The hearts of people, moreover, are full of evil, and there is madness in their hearts while they live, and afterward they join the dead. Anyone who is among the living has hope. Even a live dog is better off than a dead lion. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. They have no further reward, and even their name is forgotten. Their love, their hate, and their jealousy have long since vanished. Never again will they have a part in anything that happens under the sun. Go, eat your food with gladness, and drink your wine with a joyful heart, for God has already approved what you do. Always be clothed in white, and always anoint your head with oil. Enjoy life with your wife, whom you love, all the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun, all your meaningless days, for this is your lot in life. And in your toilsome labor under the sun, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, for in the realm of the dead, where you are going, there is neither working, nor planning, nor knowledge, nor wisdom.
Well, there you go. The key phrase is life under the sun. It was that first sentence in the passage that you've just heard. What is life like under the sun? What is life like on this planet, on this earth, in this world? Well, this is what the teacher says. Eat your food, drink your wine in moderation, enjoy life with your wife, whom God has given you. Love her all the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun. All your meaningless days, for this is your lot in life. Whatever you choose to do, go for it. Because in the grave where you are headed, you won't be able to finish anything that you start here in this life. You see, the advertisements with the happy couple, happy, healthy, grey-haired couples enjoying their retirement, it's just not true. Let me tell you what a man called John Chapman told to me once all about retirement. This was his experience of retirement. So on Monday, he visits the doctor. The doctor sends him to get a test on Tuesday. On Wednesday, he takes the test to a specialist appointment. The specialist sends him to another test that he has to take on Thursday. And on Friday, he has to take it back to the doctor. And on the weekend, he's exhausted and has to recover from all his work during the week. That's retirement. And it's not great. Fulfillment, not available in this life. There is some fulfillment, of course, available along the way. Of course there is. There is some enjoyment, some contentment in life. And the writer, the author, the teacher of Israel said, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Yeah, go for the football, for the dancing. Do the business. Do whatever your hand finds to do and put all of your effort into it. But in reality, it's going to be sad. In the end, it's going to be sad. Why? Because if you put all your effort into that, seeking fulfillment under the sun in this age, what's going to happen in the end? Well, you're going to miss your real purpose in life, and therefore you're going to miss finding that real satisfaction, that real fulfillment. Now, I said that we had to be brutal, but we also can be kind, and we can be kind because God has been kind to us. And so I want to bring you forward 1,000 years. The teacher of Israel was 3,000 years before Jesus, and now we come to a man named Paul, who was a teacher of the Christian church in the first couple of decades. And Paul says that he has a secret to reveal. He has something to tell us. And what his secret is this. You are not the only one who has experienced the frustration of not being able to find your purpose, not being able to find fulfillment in this world. You share that frustration with the entire population of the earth. We all experience that frustration. We all experience that inability to find purpose and fulfillment. Why? Because God has subjected this whole world to frustration, the entire planet. He has a purpose for the world, but the purpose is just outside of our reach. Indeed, it's just outside of the reach of creation itself. He says that this world is like a woman in labor. That is to say, a woman in labor who actually just can't give birth. What a terrible illustration that is. You see, the earth can't be brought to its fulfillment. It can't achieve what God has intended for this world. And you are caught up in that. That's where we all are. The thing is that God has a better purpose for this world. And the purpose, he says, is liberation. He wants and he is enabling the world to give birth to a new creation, a new age. I want you to listen to a minute from these words from Paul. Listen to this.
I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time.
So what does Paul say this world is really like? This world of which you are a part and I'm a part. He says the world is kind of like rotting fruit, but in the compost there are the seeds of a new tree. He says this world is like a woman in labor. There's new life on the way, but it hasn't arrived yet. The Apostle Paul says it's like rehearsal before curtains are up. That is to say, this world in its present form is not all there is. This world is looking forward to something far more wonderful, far greater, a new heavens and a new earth, a new creation to which it must give birth. Paul calls this new creation, this new world, the glorious freedom of the children of God. And you see, there's the hint. There's the tip-off. Where are we to find true fulfillment? Where are we to find our true purpose? Well, the answer is in a relationship with God, Him as our Father and us as His children. It is inevitably the case. And the reason is very simple. You see, God created us for Him. If we're going to find our purpose and our fulfillment, we have to find Him and find that relationship with God who made us for that very purpose. So what is your purpose? Ultimately, the purpose is your purpose, my purpose, is a relationship with God Himself who made us. God as our Father, you as His child. God wants to be your Father. And I'm not talking about some of the deadbeat fathers we find on this planet. Fathers that desert their children and leave their mothers. I'm talking about a father who genuinely cares for you, a father who gives you real responsibility and a part to play in the work that he is doing. You see, as long as you haven't yet found, and until you find God as your father, you're actually incomplete. You feel incomplete. You know you're incomplete, but you can't quite see why you're incomplete. And the reason that you're incomplete is because you haven't yet found God as your Father. So it's like a puzzle with pieces missing. That's who we are until we find God as our Father. We're like a novel without the last chapter. We're like an unfinished symphony. That's where we're at. Fulfillment in this world, yes, we can find some fulfillment in this world because God's made us with particular gifts and abilities, and we find fulfillment in exercising them. Things like marriage and sport and art and business and academics, career, yes, we can find fulfillment in those things to a measure, but in the end, they're all missed. They all blow away. No, our purpose and our fulfillment is in God because He made us for Himself, for that beautiful relationship to be a child of God. And here's the thing, the New Age belongs to those children of God. No one in the New Age is going to be asking the question, what is my purpose? No one is going to be asking the question, what am I made for? Because they will know we were made for God. Because we were made by God. Now, friends, at this point, you may very well be asking a question. In fact, I hope you are asking this question. How do I know? I mean, it's a big claim, isn't it? This world is temporary, and in fact, it's giving birth to a new world, a new age, a whole new creation. The whole idea of a child of God, children of the Father. How would I know it's true? And the answer is, the resurrection of Jesus. That's how I know it's true. The resurrection of Jesus, that is that he was crucified, he was put to death, he was executed. And then on the third day, he rose from the dead. He was seen by his disciples, seen by his friends, seen by more than 500 people at the same time indeed. That he appeared to them, spoke to them, ate with them. It was a bodily resurrection, and it was a resurrection in history, in our history. And then he ascended back up to heaven to be with God, his Father. This is the evidence, friends. This is the proof. God has given us proof that there is a new age coming. It's an age of resurrection. And Jesus is the first part of the promise fulfilled. So Jesus is the evidence of a resurrection age, an age of fulfillment, which is yet to come. But here is the trick. Here is the thing. The resurrection of Jesus is also the evidence that Jesus is the only way into that new age. There is no other way. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. No one is going to come into that new age. No one is going to celebrate with God as their Father, as his children, without going through Jesus first. Now, here's the thing. You think you're frustrated. You think it's difficult to find fulfillment in this age. Well, what about God? Because God is frustrated. God is frustrated because he made you for himself. And you want to find your life and meaning and purpose and fulfillment without him. God is frustrated. And indeed, it's offensive to God that we would try to do that. Now, the wonderful news is God loves you. He hasn't given up on you. He hasn't given up on any of us. God loves us, and he's given us a way back to himself in order for us to become his children. But what we have to understand is that God has put that way into Jesus' hands. You have a relationship with Jesus, then you've got a relationship with God. Ignore Jesus, then you've ignored God. And what's going to happen? God is going to ignore you. You don't want that. We want to be with God, God's children. Jesus is, if you like, he's God's ambassador. So what is it to be an ambassador? Well, it's to represent the country that you have come from, isn't it? Now, if you treat the ambassador from another country with contempt, if you ignore them, if you throw them out, put them on a plane, bundle them up and send them back to the country from which they've come, then don't go applying to that country for permanent residency because you're not going to get it, are you? The way you treat the ambassador is the way you have treated the country from which that ambassador comes. And that's what it is with Jesus. He is God's ambassador to us. The way we treat Jesus is the way we treat God. So we want to be careful about Jesus. We can't ignore Jesus, God's ambassador. Friends, actually what we do is we need Jesus and we want to seek asylum with Jesus. We want to seek asylum by being with him, putting our trust in him. You want fulfillment? Do you want to find purpose in life with God as your father and you his child? Then find Jesus. Now I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray in such a way that you can take that first tentative step, that first little step towards Jesus, towards finding him, and therefore finding God as your father, and in that way finding real fulfillment, your purpose in life. So I want to invite you to join with me, pray with me, pray these words, and then I'll speak to you for a quick moment about where to go after that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I know that you made me for yourself, but I have been trying to find my own fulfillment in this world without you. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to bring me home to you. Please forgive me and help me to look for true fulfillment and joy that comes from knowing you and trusting your Son, Jesus. Amen. And friends, it's as simple as that. God's offering you a way back, and it's a way to find true fulfillment, ultimate fulfillment. What are the next steps? Well, it's very simple. The first thing is tell a Christian friend. If you can't find a Christian friend, then go to a church and tell someone at church. But you need to find a church anyway. You need to find a church where you can get linked up with other Christians who can encourage you and help you and teach you about Jesus. Find yourself a Bible in a modern version. Read through the Gospel of Mark or the Gospel of John. And make sure that you pray. Keep praying. Keep asking God to lead you and to guide you and to bring you to himself. Finally, I would love to help you. Send me a message on St. John's Cathedral Facebook. Send me an email. I would love to talk with you further and help you along that route. There's nothing better. God bless.